It's great to see you guys here today. And early this fall, we're discovering what it really means to follow Jesus. And so far, we've talked about what it means to be a disciple, a follower. We've talked about being a disciple, a student of Jesus. And then last week, we talked about the fact that we are ambassadors of Jesus Christ. We are his representatives in the world. Now today, we're going to talk about belonging, being a member of Christ's body. The Bible says that to follow Jesus, we must be a member of his body. See, following Jesus is more than just believing. It's not enough just to believe in Jesus. The Bible says that we're called to be believers and we're called to be belongers. We're called to belong in the family of God. We're called to belong in the church. So it goes like this. We believe, and then we belong, and then we become all that God intended. We believe and we belong, and then we can become all that God intended. Here's the truth in the scripture. You cannot become all that God intended without a church family, without a church. Here's what the Bible says in Romans chapter 12, verse 4 and 5. Just as our bodies have many parts, and each part has a special function, so it is with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body, and we all belong to each other. We all belong to each other. The Bible says that if you're a follower of Jesus, you don't just belong to God, you don't just belong to Jesus, you belong to your brothers and sisters in Christ. You belong to every other believer. You're in the family now. You're in God's family. Now, the Bible describes the church as a body and a family. And in both cases, in a body and in a family, membership means something. Now, here's what we must understand. Membership means that you are vitally connected. Membership means that you're vitally connected. You're not just barely connected. You're not just hanging on by a thread. You're vitally connected. And if you think about your body, any member of your body that gets connected from your body will shrivel up and die. A disconnected hand, foot, ear, or leg has no value to the body because it shrivels and dies. If we're not connected to the body of Christ, we will spiritually shrivel and die. If you think about your family, every member of every family has responsibilities. Every member of the family has a responsibility, and every member has something to offer the family. The Apostle Paul writes in Galatians 6:10, "Therefore, whenever we have the opportunity, we should do good to everyone, especially to those in the family of faith." Now, it's important for us to note that we are to do good to everybody. When you're a follower of Jesus, you cannot disrespect anybody. It's part of your job of being an ambassador, is being good to everybody. We're called to love everyone and respect everyone and be kind to everyone. But it also says that we should be especially loving and respectful to our fellow Christ followers, especially to the family. Notice that Paul says those in the family of faith. So we belong as members of the body, and we belong as members of the family of God. So what we're talking about today is we're talking about belonging to a church. We're talking about church membership. Now, here's the good news for you. Most of you are members of the church family already. Some of you are attendees, and some of you are guests, and we're glad all you guys are here. And if you want to know more about membership, this Saturday at 9 o'clock, I'm going to be teaching a class called Class 101, Connecting with God's Family. And here's what happens at Class 101. I just tell you what Venice Church is all about. And at the end of the class, we ask you to like sign up to become a member of Venice Church. If God's leading you to join this family, we invite you to do that at the end of the class. So if you're wondering about this whole membership thing, if you're looking for a church, if you've been attending for a while and you haven't signed up yet, but you want to, Class 101, Saturday at 9 o'clock. Now, at the end of this message today, I'm going to ask you to take one of those little response cards right in front of you, and I'm going to ask you to tell me if you're going to be at that class on Saturday. All right? So keep Class 101 in mind if you're not a member. All right? Even if you just want to know more about what we're about, it's a great class. And we're talking about church membership. We're talking about belonging to a church. And folks, the church is not a building. The church is a relationship. It's a family. It's the family of God. The Bible says that you cannot be a follower of Jesus unless you're connected to a church family. Now, let me be straight. You can't say that you love Jesus, but you don't want to be a part of a church family. If you don't love the church, then you don't love Jesus. Because the church is the body of Christ. The Bible says that the church is the bride of Christ. Jesus died for the church. Jesus loves the church, and he gave his life for the church. If you love Jesus, then you will love what Jesus loves. And he loves the church. You cannot follow Jesus, and you cannot become all that God intended without a church. So, the great model for all churches is the first church in Jerusalem. It was established by Jesus, and then he went back to heaven. And when Jesus went back to heaven, the church just exploded. In fact, most Bible scholars believe that the church grew to over 100,000 members. And they had a simple strategy. All right, check this out in Acts chapter 5 and verse 42. Here's their strategy. And every day, in the temple and from house to house, they continued to teach and preach this message: Jesus is the Messiah. So here's what we see. They had large gatherings in the temple court for worship. And then they met in smaller groups in homes for fellowship. Here at Venice Church, we try to follow the same model. We have a worship service in here on Sunday mornings for worship, and then we encourage, cajole, and bug people until they get in a small group for fellowship. For the last month or so, we've been encouraging you to start a group, lead a group, join a group. Here it comes again. To become all that God intends, you need to be a part of an intimate fellowship called a small group. I absolutely love this quote. You guys know now that I love Twitter. One of the people I follow on Twitter is Andy Stanley. Here's what he tweeted on August 15th. He said, "It's easy to stumble out of church. It's almost impossible to stumble out of community. One more reason why circles are better than rows." See, to become all that God intends, you need to be a part of an intimate fellowship called a small group. Now, we're glad that you're here in these rows today. We gather on Sundays and we meet in rows for the purpose of worship. But if you're really going to grow and if you're really going to get connected to the body of Christ, you need to get in one of those circles that we call a small group. We have some that meet almost every day of the week. And I'm going to tell you right now, we need more. We need more small group opportunities. We need more leaders. We need more people that will host them in their home. And I know some of you are like, what is the big deal about small groups? Well, again, we have a biblical model. Jesus set the tone for us. When Jesus wanted to change the world, he started a small group. He handpicked 12 men for the express purpose of leading them to be all that they could be for the kingdom of God. By the way, it worked extremely well. It really worked good. Folks, life change happens best in a small group. Now, you may not be convinced, so let me give you four advantages of small groups. Here's number one. Small groups are relational. Now, this is so important. The fact that they're relational is so important because life is about learning to love. You can't learn to love people unless you're in a relationship with them. Small groups are learning laboratories for relationships. Now, let me cut to the chase. You don't build relationships during a service like this. You don't build relationships chatting before or after a service like this. You build relationships in a small group where you pray specifically for each other. You build relationships when you share your life in a small group. You build relationships by really getting to know people in a small group. Now check this out. You don't have to know everybody in this church for this to be your church, but you do have to know somebody. See, if you don't get to know somebody in this church, it'll just be about rows, and you'll walk away someday. To really connect to this church family, you've got to get close to people. You got to get close to people. See, you probably don't know even everybody in your section right now. Even though this is like a smaller crowd for us today, you don't know everybody in your section. You probably don't know everybody in your row. And that's okay, because you only need to know 3, 4, 5, maybe 10 people. You need some people that know when you're sick. You need some people that will pray for you when you're sick. You need some people that will know when you get laid off or when you need a babysitter. You don't need 100 friends in the church, but you do need some friends that you can really count on in the church. Small groups are relational. That's why we have them. Number two, small groups are flexible. We have this service every week in the same place at the same time. Small groups can change all the time. You can change the time. You can change the location. Small groups can meet anytime, anywhere. I lead a men's small group, and we meet on Wednesday nights. Do you know why we meet on Wednesday night? Because there's no football on Wednesday night. It's strategic. Nobody plays football on Wednesday. So me and the men in our group, we have small group on Wednesday. But small groups meet on Sunday night, Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night. Small groups meet here at the church. Some meet in homes. And check this out. This is the point. The time and the place really doesn't matter. Jesus said in Matthew 18:20, "For where two or three gather together as my followers, I am there among them." See, we're having church right now. But you don't have to have 100 or more for God to show up. Jesus said, if just a few of you will gather, I'll be with you. I'll meet with you. I'll show up. God shows up big in our small groups. Number three, small groups are expandable. I think we have 7 or 8 small groups right now. That doesn't include like student small groups, junior hires and high schoolers. We have 7 or 8 adult small groups right now, but we want to add more. We want our small groups to expand. We want them meeting every night of the week. We want them meeting during the daytime if that will meet a need. We want them meeting here. We want them meeting in homes. We want them to expand. We want to add more. Now, that means that some of you are going to have to answer the Holy Spirit's call and His leading, and you're going to have to step up and volunteer to lead a group or to host a group. We need more places for people to belong. We need more opportunities for people to connect. Small groups are relational, flexible, expandable, and small groups are economical. And here's what I mean by that. There is absolutely no overhead for the church. We can get all kinds of people in a small group where they can pray together, study the Bible together, and fellowship together, and it doesn't cost the church anything. Now, there's times when we purchase curriculum and such, but for the most part, small groups are extremely economical. So we come together on Sunday mornings to worship together, and then we want everybody to be vitally connected to other people through small groups that meet throughout the week. And these small groups, these little pockets or pods of believers, is where the real life change and the real spiritual growth takes place. Now, with that in mind, I want to spend the rest of my time today talking about what makes a healthy small group. And I want to share this for those of us that lead groups, and for those of us that attend a group, and for those of you who are going to commit to attending a group. If you lead a group, this is what it should look like. If you attend a group, this is what you want to look for. And let me set it up this way. Sir Edmund Hillary was the first man to climb Mount Everest. And this is what he said. He said, "It would be foolish to attempt to climb Mount Everest by yourself. You can't do it without a small group." You can't do it by yourself. It would be suicidal to try to attempt to get to the peak by yourself. You need a small group to support you. And I'm going to tell you, that's true in every area of your life. With each passing day, month, and year, we find new mountains to climb. Some of us are trying to climb out of debt. Some of us are trying to climb out of grief because we lost a loved one. Some of us are trying to climb out of guilt. Some of us are trying to climb out of loss. Some of us, we're trying to climb out of physical or emotional abuse. Some of us are trying to climb out of substance abuse. Some of us are trying to climb out of insecurity and worry and fear. Some of us are trying to climb out of loneliness. And here's our deal. We want to climb these mountains. And we want to make it to the mountaintop. But you will never climb Everest alone. You will never climb Everest by yourself. You will never reach the mountaintop alone. We cannot ascend to the heights that God created us for by ourselves. He created us to be together and to be in community with other Christ followers. You need some fellow climbers. You need a team. You need a small group. And again, we have a biblical model of what small groups can and should look like. Check this out in Acts chapter 2, verse 41. Those who believed what Peter said, that was the gospel he was preaching, and were baptized, and they were added to the church that day, about 3,000 in all. And all the believers, notice that it says all the believers. Not some of them, not a few of them, but all of the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to sharing in meals. See, the Baptists, we weren't the first ones to eat together. They shared in meals, including the Lord's Supper, and they were given to prayer. And a deep sense of awe came over them all, and the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. And all the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had, and they sold their property and possessions and shared the money with those in need. And they worshiped together at the temple each day, met in homes for the Lord's Supper, and shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. All right, again, no sugarcoating, just cutting to the chase. If you're not in a small group, you may be missing out on these seven things. And if you're in a group, you should be experiencing these seven things. If you're leading a group, these are seven elements that should be present in your group. It's the same seven things that they did in the first church in Jerusalem. So here's seven marks of a healthy small group. Number one, Bible study. In the first church and in our groups, we study the Bible together. Verse 42 says they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. See, they didn't have a finished Bible. These guys were teaching it and writing it right then. But for us today, this is the apostles' teaching. The apostles were teaching in the big meeting, and then they were reviewing it in their small groups. That's what we do. I teach on Sunday, and then we review and go more in depth on, in a more personal way, Sunday's message in our small groups. And we all study the same thing. We talk it over, we share, we encourage, we correct. Here's the second thing they did. They ate together. The Bible says they fellowshiped together and they ate together. Now listen, when we talk about small groups, we're talking about growing in Christ, but we're also talking about building relationships. You build relationships through frequency and consistency. All right, so you meet together every week, and then to build intimacy, you eat together. Now, you may not eat together every week, but check this. Food is a wonderful fellowship tool. We grow together when we eat together. I mean, think about it. Why do you go to dinner with friends? Why do you have friends over for dinner? To get to know each other, to grow the relationship. See, food will do that. You know what happens when we go on these men's road trips? When we go houseboating? We eat, man. And we grow in several ways. You know, it's kind of funny. When you're on the boat, it feels like you're eating all the time. time just flies. You go out, you know, on a board, and then you come back in. Oh, time for lunch. And then you go out again. Oh, time for dinner. We eat together. We grow spiritually. We grow together by eating together. Food will do that. Do you know what Jesus did most of his teaching? He taught when they were walking and when they were eating. And he taught while they were walking and eating because people are relaxed when they're walking and they're eating. They're not defensive. They've dropped their defensive barriers. All right? They eat together. Number three, communion. They shared in communion or the Lord's Supper. The Bible says specifically that they had Lord's Supper at people's houses. Let me tell you something. Every small group leader of Venice Church is commissioned and encouraged to lead their group in communion. Now, we share communion once a month in our services, but because of the way things are scheduled, we might go 5 or 6 weeks without sharing communion together. Small groups can share in communion together. It's designed for and given to the church. Where two or three are gathered as the church, then we can share in communion there. It's the biblical model. Now, I don't know if you know this, but for the first 300 years of the church, there were no church buildings. For 300 years, there were no church buildings. They either used a synagogue, which they would probably use if they were Jewish, or they met in homes or out in the park. There were no church buildings. And let me just add this about communion. It's a wonderful component of intimacy and openness that's available to your small group. Number four is prayer. Acts 2 says they prayed for each other. They were devoted to prayer. Folks, there's power in group prayer. You can share your requests and your burdens in a small group. You can take the time to pray specifically for, to pray over somebody in your group. And see, we need people praying for us. And we need people pulling for us. We need somebody to carry our burden. We need to pray for others. And we need to pull for others. And we need to carry somebody else's burden. And if you really want to carry somebody's burden, then you pray for them. Here's the fifth thing. Needs are met. They helped each other in practical ways. They met practical needs. Small groups can and should meet practical needs. We should help each other with job references, with recommendations, with resumes. Maybe you need to share in childcare. You need parenting advice or support. You need marital advice and or support. You need a ride to the airport. You're ill. You're in the hospital. Needs can be met in a small group. Number six is worship. They worship together. They praise God together. Now, next Sunday, I'm going to talk about following Jesus, and part of following Jesus is being a worshiper, and we're going to talk about that in depth next week, but I want you to understand this. Worship is not just about singing. Worship doesn't just happen in these rows. That's just one way that we worship. Worship is studying the Word of God. Worship is prayer. Worship is praise. Worship is encouragement. Worship is obedience. Communion is an act of worship. Small groups worship. And here's one more. Invite others in. Small groups should invite others in. It says in Acts 2 that each day people were added to the church. They were inviting people into the family of God. They were telling people about Jesus, and they were inviting them to services, and they were inviting them into their groups. And they were growing every day because they were meeting every day. And here's the thing. Maybe your friend won't come to a service with you, won't come to this service with you. Maybe they won't come because they've never been to church. They don't know what's going to happen. Maybe they won't come just because it's at 10 o'clock on Sunday morning. They might not come to a service with you, so invite them to your group. Invite them to go to dinner with your group. And your group will grow. And your group will grow to be too big, and it will give birth to another group. And that's how the church will grow. Those are the seven elements that every small group should possess. So now it's time to do something. If you're in a group, or if you've been in a group, and you haven't done it yet, if you didn't do it a couple weeks ago, it's time to re-up. If you're not in a group, it's time to sign up. All right, so grab one of these response cards from the pew in front of you. Everyone just grab one. Write your name on the front. Okay? And we're going to kind of go through the same little exercise that we went through the other day. All right? And I'll tell you, if you did this the other day, you don't need to do it again. Okay, I already got your name. I already have your name and contact information. All right? But if you've been in a group and you didn't say, I'm going back, I want you to write on the back of your card, I'm going back. I'm going back to my small group. I'm going back to the place where I belong. Now, if you've never been in a group, I want you to just write, I want in. Put your name in the front, give me your email address or your phone number, whatever you prefer, and just write, I want in. And that means I want in a small group. Okay? Some of you, maybe the group that you've been in isn't working for you. Maybe your schedule changed. Maybe the group just doesn't feel right to you, whatever. You want to try something new? Just write, I need a new one. I need to try something new. Write that on your card. All right? Now, some of you, because you've told me, some of you, the Holy Spirit is leading you to lead a group, to start a new group. Just write, I'll lead. I'll lead. I'll lead a small group. Just write that on your card. Now, okay, change gears a little bit. Back to where I started today. If you're an attendee, a guest here at Venice Church, if you want to know more about Venice Church, Class 101 is for you. If you know, all right, that you maybe might be considering membership, Class 101 is for you. All right? So if you're interested in Class 101, do the same thing. Write your name on the front. Give me your contact information, and I will contact you this week with more details. And then just check the box where it says, please enroll me in the next class, 101, Connecting with God's Family. Check or X that box. I'll get in touch with you today. You can come to the class on Saturday. We'll have a great time together, and you can discover what it means to be a member of Venice Church. All right? I appreciate you guys taking a card. I appreciate you taking the time to fill it out. And I know that God is going to bless you for the commitment that you just made on this card. Would you pray with me? Father God, we're so thankful for all the ways that you bless us. And Father, we're thankful that you have given us the church. God, a place. You've gifted us with this place, with these people, where we can know and be known, where we can love, be loved, where we can pray for others and others can pray for us, where we can grow, where we can become all that you intended for us, God. And God, I pray for every person who wrote anything on their card today, who said, I want in or I'm going back. Whatever they wrote, God, I pray that you would sear that commitment on their heart. I pray that you would make it real for them today. And I pray that they would follow through and that they would find in a small group, God, the blessings that you intended for us as we live and learn and love with other Christ followers. I thank you for each person, for the commitment they made, and I pray, God, that you would bless them in an amazing way. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.